I'm glad you're here tonight. I just want to let you know of a few things that are taking place. For our married couples, we're having a marriage fellowship this Saturday. I think it's at 6 p.m. Also, too, there are flyers on our the back square table there. It's for men for mission breakfast. And what this is our men's group, the Barnabas group, we are having a community-wide breakfast on June 1st, which is a Saturday from 7 to noon. And we are offering pancakes, eggs, sausage, coffee, and juice for a donation. And our goal is we want to raise money for the missionaries that we support. And so invite your neighbors, friends. You know, everybody's got to eat, so you might as well eat here on that day. Amen? Yeah. And take a flyer with you and just let people know. And it's going to be a great day. Hallelujah. And then also, for all you ladies, there is a woven meeting this Saturday at 10 a.m. If you're a woman of victory that enjoys new life, then you want to come this Saturday. So this Saturday, 10 a.m., the ladies are going to meet, and it's going to be a great time. Hallelujah. Before and after the tea, it's always good, and every month it's always good. So ladies, Saturday, 10 a.m. Glory to God. Well, it's a Wednesday night. Can God move on Wednesday? Amen. Amen. He created every day, so he moves on every day. You know, he did something on every day. And when he was all done doing good things, I want you to turn in two places in your Bible. First to the book of Isaiah chapter 61, and then Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. In Luke, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor," or the meek. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort" how many? "All that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 17. Well, we'll go start with verse 16. Luke 4, 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was," I want you to notice he had a custom. What was his custom? To go to the synagogue. That was the church of his day. "He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All right? So we started a series last week called The Divine Exchange, where you can bring your mess and give it to God, and He'll give you something better in exchange. He'll take your brokenness and He'll give you something that's been repaired. He takes our worst and gives us His best. So we're here to exchange some things tonight. And, you know, we can trade up with God. We can trade our old ways of doing things for something better in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm ready to trade up. Say, I'm ready to give up my junk and receive His treasure. Hallelujah. All right? And we're looking at these exchanges that have taken place in Christ Jesus. Number one is the poor have good news proclaimed to them. And we started with that last week and we talked about that. And number two is the brokenhearted are healed. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And number three, the captives have liberty proclaimed to them. So if you're captive by anything, we're going to tell you that you can be free. Number four, those who are bound have the prison opened for them. You know, when Christ is with you, there's nothing that can bind you. Because our God is a God of freedom, you know? And in Christ, you know, we are governed by His love. And number five, those who mourn are comforted. Number six, those who mourn in Zion are consoled. Number seven, those who end up with ashes, they get beauty for their ashes. So you can bring your ashes, and God will take your ashes and make something beautiful out of them. Number eight, those who are in mourning receive the oil of joy. So God's going to oil all those squeaky parts and make it smooth. You know, you ever heard your engine when it needs oil, you hear a clicking sound? You know, well, how does it sound when we need the oil of joy? Notice it's the oil of joy. Number nine, those who are down from the spirit of heaviness receive the garment of praise. So He'll give you the garment of praise in place of the spirit of heaviness. Number 10, those who are blind can recover their sight. That's spiritually or physically. Number 11, those who have been oppressed are set at liberty, or those who have been bruised. And number 12, those who are carrying a heavy burden can find rest. And then we're going to learn how to trade our darkness for light, our death for life. Hallelujah. Sound like those are good exchanges? Amen. Amen. God is so good. Now, I want to mention one thing about the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I want you to go to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. And I want you to look at verses 10 through 13. All right? You know, the good news for someone who's poor is you don't have to stay in that condition. Amen? And we looked at some examples of the widow woman whose sons were going to be sent to the creditors. The creditors was going to take them, and there wasn't any other way, but supernaturally, God caused oil to flow. As long as there were empty pots, that oil flowed. Not only did she pay off her debt, but she could live off the rest. You know, she went from being poor to not poor. See, if you can pay all your bills, you're not poor. Amen? Amen. But you know what? God desires more for you than just paying all your bills. He wants you to be able to be a blessing to others. And through God, He can make you a blessing. But 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Who did he bless? He blessed the Lord. And David said, "Blessed be you, Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. You, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and earth. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." So what is David doing? He's giving God praise. Okay? Now I want you to notice verse 12 of what he said about riches. He said, both riches and honor come from where? Come from God. All right? What comes from God? Riches and honor. And you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And then verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. So does God mind a person being rich? As long as those riches, he's not trusting in those riches. As long as, you know, you have the right attitude toward riches. You know, and he talks about someone that gets the gospel, they really have the true riches. Okay? So I just wanted to point out that David recognized where riches and honor came from. Now maybe you're here tonight and you came here with a broken heart. Or maybe at one point you've had a broken heart. Can we all say that at one point in life we've had our heart broken? Okay? Well, I've got good news for you. There's healing for the broken heart. A broken heart can be healed. It can be mended. You know? How many's ever broken a bone? All right? Is that bone still broken today? What happened to that bone? It was set in place, and that bone that was broken fused back together, right? And when it fused back together, do you still have the pain? See, when that broken bone fused back together, it eliminated the pain associated with the breaking. Okay? So the word brokenhearted is a word shabar. It's a Hebrew word. This is from Isaiah. And it means to burst. Literally, to break down or to break off in pieces. It means broken. It means bring to the birth, to crush, to destroy, to hurt, to quench, to tear. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Okay? So the brokenhearted, who are they? Who are the brokenhearted? They are people who are deeply afflicted and distressed in any account. Whether it's something that they've gone through, or oppression that they've been under, or you know, sometimes we break our own hearts. Regret, right? We don't do things that we wish we would have done, or we do things we wish we hadn't have done, right? So those are ways that a heart can be broken, but God wants to heal your broken heart. And only God can heal the broken heart. Amen? Go to Psalms 147 with me. Psalm 147. Hallelujah. Your heart's going to be made whole tonight. Notice what it says in verse 3. He heals the what? the broken in heart, and he binds up their wounds. Now, if you suffered a wound, maybe you were cut, maybe you were bit, right? What do you need to do with that wound? You need to clean it, and then what? You need to cover it or bandage it. Why? You don't want to leave a wound exposed because it'll lead to infection. An infection will make a wound worse. Okay? And Jesus said, what did he do with broken hearts? He binds them up. He heals them. All right? He fixes them. Okay? He covers you with his love. He cleans you with his blood. He purifies you. He prevents infection from getting in that wound. And ultimately, he takes the pain away that was associated with the broken heart. He heals it. If something was broken and now it's healed, it's not broken anymore. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord heals my broken heart. Say, he's my healer. Inside and outside. He fixes things. He makes things better. He makes things bearable. Hallelujah. To bind means to wrap firmly. It means to stop and to rule or to govern. So when he binds it up, he wraps it firmly. Okay? You got to wrap up wounds. And a wound, it can also be sorrow. You know, we can suffer wounds physically, but we can also suffer wounds emotionally. A person without Christ is wounded spiritually. Right? A person without Christ is spiritually what? Dead. Okay? And a wound means to grieve, to hurt, to be sorry, to vex. Go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And verse 17. What kind of heart does God welcome? He said in verse 17, Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. The word contrite means to collapse or to crouch or to crumble. You know, God, he took some loaves of bread and some fish from a young boy. And that by itself wasn't enough to feed everybody. But what did Jesus do? He gave thanks to God and he began to break it. He began to crush it, to crumble it, so that it could be effective for the multitude. But God is there. He does not despise a contrite heart. Okay, go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. And look at verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So even though God is up in heaven, he's not displaced from your pain. How many know the Lord feels your pain? He knows what you're going through. What do you think he went through? If anybody can relate to your situation, it is the Lord. How do you think he felt when he was on the cross and most of his followers were not there? How do you think he felt when he told the people, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you have no part in me, and so many people left him that he turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. God knows what it means to have a broken heart. How do you think he felt when man sinned? The man whom he created, the man whom he breathed life into, chose to do something other than what he said. But I'm here to say that God is the healer of a broken heart. You can overcome a broken heart. You can get rid of the pain that a broken heart causes. And God can take the pieces of that heart and he can put it back together and he can breathe life into it and he can cause you to do great and mighty things. He can cause you to move forward, to be the person that you were created to be. Amen. There's nothing that can come against you that he can't handle. Go to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. You know, that's one thing I like about Psalms is a lot of the writers of the Psalms, they weren't afraid to tell God how they really felt about things. You know, they had conversations like, look, God, my enemies are, they want to crush me. They want to kill me. But you know, God has solutions. God has answers. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to deny your pain. You can express your pain to God because he has a solution for it. He has the answer for it. He can heal it. Because he knows what you're going through. And in Jeremiah 33, verse 6, and you know, he's talking about Israel, but it applies to us. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Just take a minute, think about that for a minute. He will heal them, he will cure them, he will reveal the abundance of peace and truth. You know, when a person has a broken heart, it's not peaceful. It's sorrowful, it's heavy, it's weighty. But I like that he brings an abundance of peace and truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free, make you free. That's why he brings the truth. There's nothing that's going to heal you other than the truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to what? You know, sometimes when a person has a broken heart, they're held captive by those emotions associated with the brokenness. And how many has ever had a broken heart and you hear a certain song and you get all those feelings all over again? Right? Because you have that emotional tie to it. You know, you're emotionally connected. But he can turn the captivity so that you're not bound by it. And I will build them. Listen, part of healing a broken heart is God builds your heart up. He strengthens your heart. It was weak. The brokenness caused it to be weak, but God can build it up. God can strengthen it. God can firm it. As at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. Isn't that good news? He will cleanse. He will pardon. I met a man. He graduated from Rhema. His name is Randall Greer. And he escaped from 3 maximum security prisons. And I was at Rhema, and he was, we had these things called exaltation. It was like our chapel. And he was preaching one day, and he was telling his story. Matter of fact, he preached so hard that his belt broke. He said, I preached myself out of my pants. But his pants didn't fall, but his belt did break. On the 3rd prison that he escaped out of, he had to jump from a 2-story window far enough to get past the fence. But when he landed, he broke his ankle or something because he was hobbling. He had gotten saved, and as he was making his escape, the Lord said, you need to go back and turn yourself in. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Anyway, he went back into prison. And he started having revival in a prison. And he got the biggest, baddest dude in the prison saved. And that guy became his bodyguard. Big, big guy. So they were having so much revival in the prison. And he ended up getting out. Now get this. God is so good. God led the governor, I forget whatever state he was in, to give him a full pardon. And while he was telling this story, he said, my record is cleaner than some of yours. Because the Lord said, I will cleanse you and I will pardon you. To be pardoned means it's like you never committed a crime. It's like the hurt that you experienced is not there. You're totally separated from the pain and the brokenness, and now you're pardoned. You're totally cleansed. The brokenness is gone. Everything's put back together. Can you say amen? Amen. And notice what pardoning and cleansing does for the Lord. Verse 9. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for the goodness and for the prosperity that I procure unto it. You know, God is, he rejoices when you can overcome brokenness. He rejoices when you give him your broken heart and he heals it. He takes pleasure in it. God loves you. He doesn't want to see you broken. You don't have to turn there, but just write this down. Hosea 6, verses 1 to 3. Come, let us return to the Lord. As he has torn us to pieces, he will heal us. As he has injured us, he will bind us up. Now, does the Lord really injure us? Who really is the cause of our injury? Sometimes it's the enemy, but sometimes it's us when we don't listen to God. Yeah. When God gives us instruction, we like, when we don't do what God instructs us to do, we bring hurt on ourselves. Sometimes we are our worst own enemy. Amen? Go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Last book in the Old Testament. Look at verse 2. He's talking about the day of the Lord. And he said, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with what? Healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The calves of the stall, how were they treated? You know, I've driven by some farms and I've seen these little houses that the calves live in, you know? And the calves get milk from the mama. All right? They get under there, they get under the mama, and they get their milk from the mama. They're taken care of. And they begin to grow. See, this is really why God wants to heal your broken heart, because a broken heart will hinder your growth. See? A broken heart will hinder your progress. A broken heart, when the devil designs to break your heart so that he can keep you in this emotional state. And he keeps bringing up all this junk, all this stuff associated with what caused the brokenness. Because he's a deceiver, he's a liar, and God wants you to break out of that stuff. And you know, Ezekiel said, I'll even take out that stony heart and I'll give you a new heart of flesh. Because a broken heart can't receive God's writing on it. See, if your heart is broken, it's hard for God to write his law on your heart. So God's got to mend your heart. He's got to heal your heart so that you can receive what God wants you to have. He comes with healing in his wings, and you shall grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. See, Satan doesn't want your heart to get healed, because when your heart is healed, you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You will tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. God wants to heal your broken heart. The solution for your broken heart is for God to heal it. Your broken heart is not a badge of courage saying, look at how great I am. Look at what I've went through and I'm still standing. No, your broken heart is to be healed by the Lord. You're not supposed to glory in brokenness. You're supposed to glory in healing. You know, ever since Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't talk about how bad the cross was. He talked about how glorious the resurrection was. You know, you didn't hear Jesus after he rose from the dead. Whoo, boy. Boys, I'll tell you what, that cross was hard. You know, that cross was rough. I mean, when they stuck that spear into my side, I'll tell you what. He didn't talk about it. See, part of getting your broken heart healed is brokenness is not a discussion in your talks anymore. God wants to free you from that. Only God can free your broken heart. Only God can heal it. Look at verse 18. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart. Where is he? How many have you ever heard with a broken heart, I'm so alone. Nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm so alone. Well, you forgot who's near to you. Why is he near? You know, a doctor can't do surgery from 10 feet away. In order for a cardiologist to do heart surgery, he's got to come close. And when you're of a broken heart, God is near. He wants to take your pain. And he wants to take your shame. And he wants to restore your good name. So he wants to take your pain, he wants to remove the shame, and he wants to restore your good name. And he does that by healing the broken heart. And he saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what? See, it doesn't matter how many afflictions you go through, because the Lord will deliver you out of each one. Notice, you're going through afflictions. You're not setting up camp and staying there for a while. Yeah, you're gonna go through afflictions. Why? Because you got an enemy. You got someone who's against you just because you're a Christian. And he's a perverted, twisted, lying deceiver. And he's the accuser of the brethren. And he's really the source of your brokenness. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's unfortunate, but people do yield to the wrong spirits. God, the devil uses people just like God uses people. When Peter spoke up to try to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his plan, Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because that statement that Peter made originated from the wrong place. God is near to those who call on him. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I want you to look at verses 7 through 9. Well, let's just look at verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and what? You know, we're supposed to depart from evil. If you recognize that something is evil, you ought to end your association with it. You need to depart from evil. When something is not honoring to God, you need to depart from it. You need to move. And when you do this, look at what happens in verse 8. It shall be health or healing to your navel or your body, and marrow or refreshment to your bones. When you're not trying to rely on your experience, but you're relying on the Lord, it's going to bring health to your body. Is the heart part of your body? You know, health to your body and marrow to your bones. When your bones have marrow in it, isn't that where red blood cells come from? From the marrow? And people who have, I don't know what disease it is, but they have to get a bone marrow transplant. They get, what do they get when with a transplant? They get new marrow. So that their bones can be strong. Now think about this. You experience a broken heart. Something happens in your life. A broken relationship or a broken dream. And you suffer pain. You experience pain from that. So you come to Victory Christian Fellowship. And you bring your broken heart with you. And you come and you give it to God. And God will say, here, let me take all that. He puts it here and he does this. And you'll be like, ooh, you know. And you don't have to worry about malpractice insurance. There's never a surgery that the great physician hasn't been able to achieve and accomplish. And he'll take your broken heart. He'll take your mess. He'll take your pain. He'll remove it from you. He'll separate you from your pain and from your brokenness, and he'll make it brand new. Amen. And your heart will be like it was never broken. Because he can heal a broken heart. But the question is, are you going to let him? Or do you resist him? You know, you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you. You know, Jesus said they can't come unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And you feel God's drawing. Maybe he's drawing you to a place. Maybe he's drawing you to receive prayer. Maybe he's drawing you. Because there's something that he needs to do in you. And he's got to have your permission. God will not just bang down the door and enter into your life without your permission. That's not what he does. He, ever since the beginning of creation, he gave man a free will and the ability to choose. So what God does is he gives you choices. I've set before you life or death, the blessing or the curse. But he said, you choose. You choose. And if you want your broken heart to be healed, you've got to choose God. You've got to allow God to do it his way. Now, what does that mean? Well, God may have you come up and he may knock you down so that he can do some work on you. I call that spiritual anesthesiology. How many know that they don't operate on you without putting you under? Right? I mean, there's some operations, but for mostly, if you're going to get operated on, you're going under. Why? Because while you're under, you don't feel the pain. And the surgeon can work. The surgeon can do his thing. He can exercise his skill and expertise, and you're not interfering with the process. Uh-oh. Too many times we want to interfere with God's process. And we prevent God from letting the work be done in us. And you know, we see this in the story of the Good Samaritan. He was on his way to Jericho. And this guy was jumped by some robbers. He got mugged. Not only was he mugged, but he was beaten up, he was stripped, and he was left for dead. Isn't that what the devil does to us? He beats you up, he strips you, and he leaves you for dead and blames you for it. And this man was laying there, helpless. And a priest walked by, religion. Religion cannot heal a broken heart. There's no religion, there's no ritual that can heal a broken heart. It takes a relationship with the living God. And the priest saw the person laying there and went to the other side of the road. Didn't even take time to help the helpless person. Then a Levite. They were the people who operated in the temple. They took care of the temple. He came on this road and he saw the guy lying there bleeding, bruised. You know, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what happened to him. And what does he do? He goes on the other side of the street. But then a Samaritan. See, the Samaritan is a type of Christ. Christ didn't have to come to this dying world, but he did. This world, sin left this world bruised, beat up, and left for dead. Sin will strip you of everything. And it'll leave you there. And this Samaritan, he went to this man. He began to bind up his wounds. He poured in oil and wine, medicine. How many know that God's word is medicine to all of our flesh? Have you took your medicine today? You know, some people will take a prescription and they'll take their medicine three times a day, but they won't read their Bible three times a day. Uh-oh. You know, when you're going through a rough time, that's when you need more of the Bible. Amen. Not less. And see, the devil uses that emotional bondage so that you don't get close to God. He wants to keep you separated from God. And if he can keep you in that emotional state, he will. But you can break out of it. So the Samaritan picked the guy up, put him on his donkey. Maybe it was a Chevy Malibu. You know, maybe it was a Cadillac. Maybe the donkeys were the Cadillac of that day. He went out of his way to help someone he never knew. Maybe they never met. But he wasn't going to leave someone lying there. He took him to an inn. He paid out of his own pocket. How many times has the Lord covered your bill? And the Lord, the Samaritan told the innkeeper, if there's any more, when I return, because he must have frequented there often. He said, when I return, I will pick up the difference. So it was no cost to the person who was mugged, beat up. And there we see the Samaritan. He brought healing to someone's wounds. Those wounds were of no fault to the person who was wounded. But there were others that inflicted wounds on the person. But then there was someone else who brought healing to those wounds. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to heal your broken heart so it's not broken anymore. He'll fix it. He'll make it whole. He'll renew it. Because that's what he does. Because he is near to the brokenhearted. He not only feels your pain, but he'll take your punishment. Did you know that Christ took our place? We should have been the ones on the cross. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to go on the cross for you so that you don't have to. By his what? Wounds. By his wounds, we are what? He was wounded so that we don't have to be. He'll take your wounds and your pain, and he will give you his healing. That's an exchange that you want to make. Amen? So maybe you're here tonight and maybe your heart was broken. Maybe you're still dealing with it. I want you to just come up tonight and let God heal it. Amen? That's what he wants to do, and that's what he can do. He's not only able to do it, but he's willing to do it for you. There's no heart that hasn't been broken so bad that God can't make it new. Because he's the healer. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. He fills my mouth with good things. He crowns me with loving kindness. So God wants to heal your broken heart tonight. Amen. And after tonight, it's not going to be broken anymore. Amen. It'll be whole. So you make the choice. Do you want to walk around with that baggage of pain and sorrow? Or do you want to come and exchange it for healing and a brand new heart? Amen? God can do it. And he wants to, because he loves you. Father, I thank you so much for your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, that you have healed our broken hearts. And I thank you, Father, you have taken away our pain. And by your stripes, we are healed. And through your touch, your virtue and power can go into our lives. And it can do something great and awesome. And I thank you, Father, that tonight every person is delivered from the sorrow of a broken heart, because those broken hearts are now healed in the name of Jesus. And if you just, I just feel like I need to pray for some people. Amen? And hallelujah. You know, God loves you so much. You're so precious to him. Got great, great, great plans for you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for taking the pain and the sorrow and the broken heart and making it brand new. In Jesus' name, Father, let the power of the Holy Ghost heal the broken heart right now and make it whole. And do it to transfer. An exchange right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Take her sorrow and give her joy. Thank you, Lord, for healing the broken heart right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your glory fall. Father, in Jesus' name. Every time. Lord, I thank you that anything is broken, you can fix, you can repair, and you can make new. You have all the parts. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for removing the pain and the sorrow. And, Lord, I call this broken heart healed and whole in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, you're strengthening this heart. Father, you're causing it to be brand new, and you're removing the burden. And I give you thanks and praise, Father, for your goodness. Lord, your grace. Just be a garland of grace about her, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, bring healing right now. Healing, healing on the inside. Take away the pain. Hallelujah. Put all the broken pieces back together. Make it brand new in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are good and gracious. And I thank you, Father, that all the broken pieces of her life are Jesus right now to exchange for your healing at no cost to her, at no charge to her, Father. Because you have paid her debt, a debt that you didn't know, but you paid it, Lord, and now it's paid in full. And I call her heart healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you make her free from this broken heart and all the pain associated with it, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for giving her a new heart and healing it in Jesus' name. Lord, go forth by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, and just touch it. Mend it. Be free from that brokenness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I give you thanks and praise. Lord, that you bear his pain. Lord, you take away his pain and his sorrow. You give him oil of joy for mourning in the name of Jesus. And Father, I give you thanks and praise that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you're giving him a new heart, one that is whole, one that is healed, one that has been touched by the Master's hands. Lord, I thank you for doing a great and mighty work in him tonight in the name of Jesus. I call this broken heart healed by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Christ and by the name of Jesus, our Savior and our King. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Things are going to be different. They're going to be fresh. And they're going to be new from this point on. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise for your goodness and how you've stretched forth your hand. And Lord, you're near to heal. You're picking up all the pieces, and you're making something beautiful out of it. And I thank you, Father, that your hand rests upon him in Jesus' name.
Every tongue and tongue.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for your goodness. Father, I thank you that you wipe away every tear. And you reach inside. And you make new. And you take away the pain and the sorrow of this broken heart. And I thank you, Lord, that this heart will no longer be broken, but it'll be mended. It'll be bound together. Lord, you're pouring in the oil and the wine right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the mighty name, Lord, that this broken heart is healed, made new, in Jesus' name, it's invigorated with strength. Oh, hallelujah, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory for healing and delivering and setting free. Hallelujah. Lord, when you say this is painless, you mean it. In the name of Jesus, receive the new and refreshing anointing. Receive the new and fresh anointing right now within. To strengthen you and to lead and guide and direct you in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise, Lord. That she's an overcomer, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, she releases the burden of any that might Lord, that today is a new day. And Lord, you are still doing your work. You're on the throne. And you're reaching down and you're touching your heart and you're healing it in the name of Jesus. And you're taking away the pain and the sorrow that's associated with it. And Father, there's great, great grace that's upon her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that she's free. She's free from a broken heart. And Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory because it's done in your name. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, just breathe on her, Father. Let that fire, let that fire just burn within her, Father. That fire that purges, that fire that purifies. Fill her with your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for making us whole tonight. Father, let us forget the pain. Let us forget the sorrow. And let us look to you as the healer and the deliverer and the restorer. Father, let peace and truth come in abundance to us now, Father. As we set our course to walk in the light as you are in the light. And Lord, we have fellowship one with another. And Lord, I thank you that nothing hinders us from pursuing you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I speak to disappointment. I command that spirit that's saying it's disappointed to cease and desist in its maneuvers against the people in Jesus' name. You better read God's report. He's not disappointed. Because you know what? He can correct your direction. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you deliver them from disappointment. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some might even be questioning, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. The Lord's going through it with you. And if he has to, he'll carry you. Just be glad that if God be for you, the who against you doesn't matter. Just know that God is for you. Know that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Know that he'll strengthen you with his strength and might. Know that you'll overcome. But stick with the Lord. Don't try to reason it out in your mind. Just receive the Lord's goodness by faith. Hallelujah. Remember, the Lord, you might suffer many afflictions, but the Lord will deliver you out of them all if you trust him. And when you trust God, nothing else matters. You trust him in good times, you trust him when it doesn't look so good, and you keep trusting him because he always comes through. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's the only one worthy of trust. Because his word is forever established. He cannot change. Hallelujah. So you keep trusting him. Amen? And he will work it out. Yeah.
It's going to be a divine appointment.
Oh, that's good.
Amen. So focus on the divine appointment, yes. And the disappointment goes away. Amen.
Yeah, so don't focus on your disappointment. Focus on your divine appointment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good.
Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, tune in next Wednesday, and we'll continue on. Hallelujah. That'd be great. We're going to talk about how the captives receive liberty.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
So next Wednesday, how the captives receive liberty. God bless you guys. Have a great night. Have a great rest of the week. And get ready for Sunday. Women, get ready for Saturday, 10 a.m. And if you need to give your tithes and offerings, just put it in the container. And hallelujah.